Dear listener, this introduction podcast is brought to you by Geopark Hovorug Goyen Vecht. For more background information, visit the website geoparkhgv.nl. You can read the info in 10 different languages. We wish you an informative listening.
UNESCO Global Geoparks are single, unified geographical areas where sites and landscapes of international geological significance are managed with a holistic concept of protection, education, and sustainable development. A UNESCO Global Geopark uses its geological heritage in connection with all other aspects of the area's natural and cultural heritage to enhance awareness and understanding of key issues facing society in the context of the dynamic planet we all live on. Mitigating the effects of climate change and reducing the impact of natural disasters. By raising awareness of the importance of the area's geological heritage in history and society today, UNESCO Global Geoparks give local people a sense of pride in their region and strengthen their identification with the area.
The Hovorug region is not only characterized by an ice-pushed ridge covered with forest and heathlands. Water plays an important role in shaping the region. Rivers like Rhine, Lech, Krumme Rhein and Vecht are bordering the Hovorug, and the gradients between high and low, dry and wet determine the natural landscape diversity. This diversity is reflected in land use, while military defense structures such as Roman limes, Hollandse Waterlinie and Grebulinie made use of the natural features in the landscape. The presence of geological heritage objects, beautiful nature, a varied landscape and a rich cultural history on and around the Hovorug are the reason for Foundation Geopark Hovorug Goyen Vecht to work on qualification of a UNESCO geopark. The ridge itself was formed in the Ice Age, about 150,000 years ago, when the inland ice mass coming from Scandinavia pushed the underlying sediments into huge ridges of sand and gravel. Bordering the Hovorug, wet environments developed due to seepage or quell and rivers. Walking across the Utrecht Hill Ridge, the Hovorug, the dry sandy soil is particularly striking. If you were to drill a hole deep enough, you would encounter groundwater. The rainwater that falls on the Hovorug slowly sifts down to form a huge fresh groundwater bubble. The ground layers purify the water, giving it the quality of spring water sold in bottles. Via intricate underground watercourses, this clean water comes back to the surface along the flanks of the Hovorug as seepage water. The dry hill ridge is thus actually a large water machine. Control over the water thus became increasingly important, and from the 12th century cooperation in the field of water management became necessary. Thus arose the oldest administrative bodies of our country, the water boards, with dams. Among other things, the water boards regulate the discharge and supply of water. Climate change has created new challenges for water management. Both dehydration and flooding are increasing. Within the geopark area, remarkable geological spots are mentioned. Geosite. These geosites are spread over 24 communities, grouped into 8 regions which will be described in short, from the northwest to the southeast of the geopark.
Region 1, the area from Muiden to Loostrecht. In Muiden, the river Vecht empties into the sea. Unlike its big brothers to the southwest, the mouth of the Vecht is still largely its original course. We therefore still find important old castles along the river, such as the Moorderslot. A little bit to the east you find a cliff and storm ridge. The distinctive image of sea, beach, cliff coast, moraine and storm ridge created a special use of the landscape in the past centuries. The ridge with the cliff was one of the few higher and sandy places in the area. This led not only to a house of worship being built there, initially a chapel, later a church, but also to the fact that burial on those heights was preferred. The Nadermeer enjoys national fame as the first nature reserve of the Vereniging Natuurmonumenten, 1905. The Nadermeer lies in an almost universally water-rich area with a complex of lakes, between and around which are partly deciduous swamps. On the west side also some polder grassland. Nadenvesting and the surrounding fortifications are cultural historical phenomena par excellence. A striking episode in the revival of Naarden was military in nature, and immediately has a geological background. After 1672, Naarden was included in the Old Dutch Waterlinie, and later in its successor, the New Dutch Waterlinie. Somewhat to the east you will find a picturesque small-scale landscape with friendly slopes, small fields, hedges and forest edges. People already lived here in the Stone Age, as evidenced by finds of things they used. A special feature is the cliff coast of the former Zuiderzee, which clashes directly with the high sandy soils of the lateral moraine, the Etzfeldse Polder. It is probably hard to imagine, about 3,000 years ago, at the site of today's Etzfeldse Polder, there was a large inland lake. In the same period, the Vecht became a tributary of the Rhine. As an arm of the Rhine, the Vecht carried the necessary silt with it. This was deposited in the lake. The already present peat on the lake bottom was covered with sand and clay. In the flat polder landscape, the mountain of Nederhorst den Berg rises strikingly above the surrounding flat land. The height is emphasized by the church and tower standing on top. The first church was probably built here as early as the 8th century. It was one of the first churches along the Vecht. The site must have been striking, a largely flat marshland with a hill protruding above it. Since the Vecht became a tributary of the Rhine about 3,000 years ago, the river left sand and clay on its banks. The peat landscape behind it developed very diversely. This development depended on the distance from the nutrient-rich waters of the river. The differences in subsoil can still be seen in this area. In the full and late Middle Ages, peat areas in the Western Netherlands were drained on a large scale, parcelled out and put into agricultural use. This often took place from a straight line in the landscape, which we call an excavation axis. Such an axis was the Stichtsend-Hollandsend road, which lies partly on a sand ridge. Where necessary, side and rear quays were constructed at the side and rear of a reclaimed piece of marsh if the water management of the new reclamation required it. A bathtub that keeps filling up from below, that is the Horstermeer Polder. There is always the question of what land use we want to have in the polder and how wet it can be for that purpose. The Horstermeer Polder is an example of the battle against water per sang. For the origin of the Horstermeer, we can look at its big brother, the Naardermeer. Both lakes arose from a meander bend of the Vecht. You can almost still see it in Schreveland. The gentlemen farmers watched their labourers collect their harvests from the field and their wives of these wealthy Amsterdam merchants strolled through their country houses. Schreveland is a renewable outer court zone on the transition between peat and sand. The location between the low, wet peat of Kortenhove and the high, dry sand of Hilversum is still clearly visible on the map and in the terrain. History is obstinate. Our ancestors fought in the Middle Ages against the water. A few centuries later, water came into being as an annoying byproduct of peat extraction, and today we enjoy recreating here. Peat and water play a central role in the landscape of Loostrecht.
The second region, the Gooi, is a natural, but densely populated area in the northern part of the geopark. Scenically striking, there is mainly a complex of low ridges consisting of deposits pushed up during the penultimate glaciation by the expanding ice sheet from Scandinavia. The municipalities in the Gooi are Blaricum, Hilversum, Huizen en Laren. Near Huizen in particular, the Gooi heights were undermined in historical times by the former Zuiderzee, which was also subject to tides. This created cliff coasts and beaches. At high wind speeds, the Zuiderzee built several storm walls on the beaches in phases. Quite a lot of burial mounds have been preserved in the archaeologically interesting parts of the Gooi. At the lower parts of the ice-pushed ridges, a number of settlements arose in the early historical period, whereby the flanks of the ridges were already used for arable farming centuries ago. To the east of Hilversum, the wet lowland of the Groot or Lade Waasmeer and its surroundings, which is largely only a few meters above sea level, looks different. The Neanderthals must have lived here between two ice ages, in the warm period that we refer to as the Eemian, 120,000 to 110,000 years ago. The defined geosites in the Gooi are the Fossil Cliff at the former coast, the Groot Waasmeer, the Bluk and the Leeuwenkwal, Estate Crelo, the Westerheide, St. Janskerkhof and Dodeweg, the Geisenveen Ligiskamp, the Hornuboexer Haidu, the Zonnestrahl, the Quarry Ostermaint in Riesbergen, the Sander Reach Kralo and the Corvus Wood. Worth visiting is also the Geological Museum Hofland in Laren.
The municipalities of Baarn and Soest, the third region, built on the ridge and on the east side of the Hevelrug. Along the east side, between the higher sands and the lower Ain Valley, we find the Ainpolder, a valuable seepage area with clay and peat. In the middle of the ridge we find the Lagte van Pijnenburg, a low and relatively wet area between the higher and drier parts to the north and south of it. The Pram Canal was once dug here for the transport of peat fuel to Amsterdam. Interesting archaeological finds have been made in Soest. During construction and excavation work, remains and tools were found from around 8,000 years ago. In the Mesolithic, hunters and gatherers lived here. Another striking and special area is the former military air base Soesterberg. It was an ideal place to build the base because of the present sander, which provided a good surface. The base closed in 2008 and is now owned and maintained by Utrecht's Landschap. In this area, we recognize the following geosites. De Lange and Kortu Dunes. A monument where we can experience living drifting sands. These sands are extremely nutrient poor and dry. A special and visible phenomenon in drifting sands are the sometimes partly buried, solitary pine trees. The Stulp and Pluismeer form a coherent complex of a recognizable and well-preserved deflation plain with erratic wind shapes and an elongated fen, a type of peat accumulating wetland, geomorphologically, culturally, historically, and ecologically relevant. The Soester Ang. In the early 20th century, people increasingly began to build on the Ang, the agricultural common field system, an ideal place for the expansion of Soest. The municipal council has now designated the Ang as a municipally protected village view. Other remarkable hotspots are the estates and castles.
The fourth region is dominated by the River Ain. The only river that starts and finishes in the Netherlands was part of an inundation area, named Grebbelinie. Plans for the construction of a defense line in the marshy Gelderland Valley date back to the 80 Years' War, 1568-1648. Exactly on the narrowest part of the Netherlands, between the Rhine and the Zuiderzee, this Grebbelinie was built as the easternmost gateway to Holland. It took much effort to build this water line through a strip of clay in the south. Peat in the north and sand in between. Remarkably, this outpost line of the Dutch water line still largely possesses its 18th century earthen defences and inundation infrastructure. From north to south you will find interesting locations as, Ameland, located on the former Zuiderzee and at the mouth of the small river Ame, is an exceptional area. The landscape there is extremely empty. There are no houses or farms, nor trees or bushes, so you can see for many miles. This empty landscape has everything to do with swamps reclaimed in the Middle Ages. The expansion of the Zuiderzee and the many floods that occurred here until 1932. The city of Amersfoort owes its origin and name to a fordable place, not deep and able to be crossed on foot or in a vehicle, in the River Ain. Habitation in Amersfoort and its surroundings goes far back in time. As early as the Mesolithic, hunters and gatherers roamed the region. During archaeological research, the remains of hunting camps were found. The region must also have been inhabited in the Neolithic. There are burial mounds with finds from this period, such as bell cups. Burial mounds are also known from the Bronze and Iron Ages. Den Treek Estate is part of a long ribbon of farms on the border of high and low, a very classical image. These farms were founded there in the 13th century when everywhere in the area the higher grounds were abandoned because they yielded less and less. New fields were created near the farms, while the lower grounds were drained by ditches. Here grass was grown as winter cattle feed. Pyramid of Austerlitz. The Batavian French period began in the northern Netherlands with the Batavian Revolution in 1795. When Dutch patriots, supported by a French army, had entered the country and proclaimed the Batavian Republic. During this French era, a large army camp was located in this area. The camp housed about 18,000 soldiers for several years. In 1804, the commander had his men build a 23-meter-high earthen pyramid on top of the lateral plateau. This meant that it would reach about 72 meters above sea level. The structure was to be an imitation of the Pyramid of Giza.
The fifth region, the municipalities the Bilt and Stiftsvet, show the impressive variety of landscapes in this area, from the dry sandy hills with woodlands, via the low and wet polders and wetlands to the river Vecht, with its many mansions and castles, like Castle Luneslot, Slottsweilen and the Vechtstreek Museum. The Bethune Polder in the central part of the region, with an elevation of 3.5 meters below sea level and about 2.5 meters below the surrounding polders and lakes, takes care of one-third of the total amount of drinking water supply for the city of Amsterdam. If the water is not regulated by pumping, the water level in this polder would rise 1.5 centimeters per day, due to the seepage water that entered the Heuvelrug, flowing through the subsoil surfaces in this area. 13 draining mills and 13 pumping stations are needed for the water management in this area. In the area you can also find two geoscientific monuments, Oostbroek Nienhof and the Westbroek Suzodden. In Oostbroek Nienhof you can find remains of the river courses and stream bridges of the Kromme Rijn. The Westbroek Suzodden shows small canals and stripes of land, coming from the winning of turf, the fuel for the towns at that time. An extraordinary nature, the so-called Trilpiet. The area in the west is part of the former 19th century Nieuwe Hollandse Waterlinie. It was a zone where hydrological facilities were constructed which could be easily flooded, deliberately. The intention was to protect the provinces of Holland and the city of Utrecht more effectively in times of war.
In the sixth region we find the communities Zeist and Utrechtse Heuvelrug. The territory comprises an entire landscape-sized average, from the wet Langbroekwetering area and the floodplain, to the highest peak of the ridge, Amarongseberg, and then again to a lower area on the Gelderse Valley side. The area shows thereby a wide variety of different landscapes. The soil and landscape of the area have been formed over a period of many tens of thousands of years. Ice sheets, wind, rivers, and the sea have left their marks. Where these traces are characteristic and still clearly visible, one can speak of geological values. The most important observed geological values in the area are beside the ice-pushed ridge itself, the Zwerfstenen, Erratics, Island, the glacial meltwater valley Darthuizenpoort, the former peatbog Leersumse Veld and the fluvial Amarongse Bouwvenpolder. On the southeast and southwest edges we find also a characteristic floodplain landscape along the lower Rhine as well as cultivated former marshlands around the Langbroekwetering with a long stretching medieval parcel pattern. In addition to the many country houses of the Stiftse Lustrand, this area is also characterized by castles or castle-like country houses such as Slotzeist, Amarongen Castle, Meersbergen, Haus Marsbergen, Haus Dorn, Bruckhausen Estate and the castle-like country houses along the Langbroekwetering. Finally, the area has a remarkably high concentration of burial mounds from the Bronze Age of about 3,000 years ago.
Region 7 describes the surroundings of the Kromme Rijn. Bordering the Heuvelrug, wet environments developed due to seepage and rivers such as the Kromme Rijn. Compared to the ice-pushed ridge, the Kromme Rijn is relatively young. About 4,000 years ago this river started to develop as one of the main courses of the River Rhine. During Roman times the Kromme Rijn started to demise and in 1122 the Kromme Rijn was dammed at Wijk by Geostede. The area between Heuvelrug and Kromme Rijn had no drainage and consisted of swamps and parts of the area were flooded regularly by the river. For that reason the Langbroekwetering was dug in the 12th century between Wijk by Geostede and Driebergen-Rijsenburg. The swampy areas, broek, could be cultivated, and parcels, copes, were sold by the Bishop of Utrecht. Part of this history is still visible in field names around Utrecht, for instance Langbroek. From the 19th century onwards, much has changed in water management. The construction of the Nieuwe Hollandse Waterlinie and the Lekkernaal and the Amsterdam Rhine Canal in the 20th century led to major changes in the water supply, which again led to problems, but now for agriculture due to low water levels. To provide agriculture and nature in these polders with sufficient water, many large and small water pumping stations were built, which are able to pump water from the Amsterdam Rhine Channel back into the area. Stream ridges consisting of sandy river and levee deposits were traditionally suitable for growing crops and habitation. Arable fields and orchards still reflect the fertile soil conditions. The presence of many mansions and castles in the Kromme Rijnstreek, often dating back to the Middle Ages, shows that this must have been an attractive location to live. The many archaeological sites show that this area between wet and dry has been inhabited almost continuously since Roman times. In the west is a part of the former 19th century Nieuwe Hollandse Waterlinie. It was a zone where hydrological facilities were constructed, which could be easily flooded, deliberately. The intention was to protect the provinces of Holland and the city of Utrecht more effectively in times of war.
The most easternate region is the community of Rhenen, which can be found on a crossing of three landscapes, the dry and hilly Heuvelrug, the river landscape of the Rhine, and the gently undulating cover sands and peat soils of the Eme Valley on the east side. The Grebberberg was eroded by the river Rhine, resulting in steep southern slope at the bank of the Rhine. On top of the Grebberberg you can find the war cemetery, the last resting place of 800 militaries and one civilian, fallen during the Second World War. Besides, you can find the Grebberlinie, a military defense work, and the Hornwerk to protect the area at the northern part of flooding. In this area you can also find two geoscientific monuments, the Grebberberg and Plantage Willem III. Plantage Willem III is located on a so-called sander, with sand and gravel deposited by ice meltwater at the end of the penultimate glaciation. The area once was a tobacco plantation. Other interesting places to visit are Quinteloan, a former sand excavation pit, now a nature reserve with a geological monument, and the Nature 2000 areas Blaukamer and Palmerswoord on the banks of the River Rhine. In the western part you can find the Kuurhovel, where several archaeological interesting grave monuments and remains were found. Rhenen is also a place of pilgrimage. Pilgrims visit the Kunnerar Church, named after the Saint Kunnerar. More about Kunnerar and Rhenen can be seen at the Town Museum, next to the Kunnerar Church Tower. And last but not least, there are several mansions like Prattenburg, Remmersteen, and the Town.
In short, visit the Geopark Heuvelrug Gooienvecht, an area where history is in front of and under your feet. Thank you for listening. We hope that you will be encouraged to visit our website and learn more about the very interesting geology of our geopark.